Greg Farrell is the president and CEO of Farrell Wealth and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good morning. Show's Money Matters with Greg at WVLP 103.1 FM here, a local community radio station and a community show. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and president of Farrell Wealth. It's a local wealth management firm here to Valparaiso, but then we manage money for a number of clients all over the nation. We are streaming live at WVLP.org as well as on farrellwealth.com. That's our company website. Feel free to dive on there and find as much information as you like. It's farrellwealth.com, F-A-R-R-A-L-L, wealth.com. We're going to thank Alex Cotton, our trusty, handy-dandy intern that's with us here today, as he's had a fun weekend of golf. We were just reminiscing, kind of keeping up. He's filling us in for the weekend of what he was doing with his college at Valparaiso University. So he'll be sending out tweets. You can find us at Farrell Wealth on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at Farrell Wealth if you have any questions. And then also ultimately find us on iTunes with all the podcasts we have. I want to thank WVLP and 103.1 for the opportunity to be able to be here today. I want to thank Greg Kovach, our engineer, as well. Who's running the show. We're going to talk about, we always talk about money on this show. We try to help you with you and your money as much as possible, and certainly hope you're able to listen in and catch some tips and some ideas in regards to your money, hopefully your money that makes money. We grow and create your money, protect and preserve your money, distribute your money in your lifetime, and then distribute your money after death. So those are our four quadrants of wealth management that we see, and we see a lot of high net worth individuals and families need help with, and that's what we do. So really excited to be able to be here today on this wonderful May Day. It's beautiful for us here in the Midwest. We're loving it. We basically had April stolen from us. But then again, we look back and have to remember we kind of stole November in 2017. In the beginning of winter, it was a beautiful, beautiful month here. So not feeling too bad, but it's nice to have spring and certainly moving forward as we move out here into the summer and the summer months. And hoping everyone's having a great spring. Also wanted to wish everyone, since this is the next show before Mother's Day, thanks to my mom, Dee Farrell, for all that you are. I love you, Mom, and certainly hope that all the mothers out there, all the awesome moms out there, have a great Mother's Day coming up here. Make sure you take care of your mother. And here's your warning. I'm going to let you know. You make sure you get your cards out, get your flowers out this week. So you've heard it here first. Make sure you knock that out and take care of your mom. Okay? So with that, I want to talk about the overall valuation of the market. We've been covering the market here in the last 4 weeks or so, the last four shows, and giving a really in-depth advice and sort of a information on the overall market. Just because it has been a rocky, wild ride this year already, we've had as many as 11 out of 16 days, up or down 1%. We've had a move from up 7% in the market in January to down a total of 10% to be down 3%, and now we're basically break even for the year, if not a little up. We've had a nice little move here in the last couple days after a really rocky Thursday of last week, and wanted to sort of update everybody on that in regards to where things are headed. Overall, you know, and that's why we've been talking about. We've been talking a lot about earnings and the earnings season. And really, the earnings season's been a huge success by virtually any measure. I mean, this is what we've been talking about here on this show as much as possible. I mean, with an impressive overall upside, you know, surprises, you've had really strong growth overall, positive guidance overall, and 409 of the S&P 500 companies have reported S&P 500 earnings have, for the first quarter, are tracking at nearly 26% year-over-year increase, and that's well above the 18.5% consensus estimate of the quarter end. Now, that revenue picture we talk about is very important, and that has also been very, very positive, with more than 1% upside to prior estimates overall, and it's really produced an annual increase of 8.4%. So that's a really high bar, and that's definitely been something to watch. We've been watching it here, tracking it here on this show, and just letting you know that even though despite that bar, estimates have risen by almost 1% during the reporting season. It's really reversed a historical pattern of estimate cuts. So all of these concerns have sort of surfaced recently about the possible peak earnings growth and whether they're premature, you know, or not out there. Are we at a peak? Are we at a peak? It's been really the talking heads on the CNBCs of the world and the Bloombergs have been talking about this peak. And the earnings parade slows down this week with just 44 S&P 500 companies reporting. Last week was just a barrage. But right now we're seeing a number of companies citing some really, really good things and coming out with some great earnings. So earnings this season has delivered, and we were tracking this and anticipating a really strong earnings cycle, and that's exactly what we have seen. So it's nice to be able to see some follow through. This is the second longest expansion overall. The current economic expansion has reached 107 months total, and that's topping the 106-month expansion from the 1960s to make it the second longest since World War II. And only the 120-month expansion during the 1990s was even longer. So really looking at history here overall, you just have to consider what's going on here. Basically, this whole data deluge that just basically happened, it brings good news. And the first week of the last month, or the month last week, brought in the data that covered jobs, inflation, and business activity, not to mention the Federal Reserve policy. They elected to leave rates unchanged for now. But it has been a busy week. It's been very, very busy last week, so it's much to update. And as we're looking here for the rest of the month, we did a nice show on the cliche of selling May and going away in the market. And I have to say it definitely looks right now as if it's been wrong to say that, certainly, because with Friday and today we're up another 200 points. Friday we were up over 300. So solid movement here in the last 2 days. So just want to update everybody that on that in the overall market. So thanks for that. And then also just really it's time to check in on the stock valuations. We always talk on this show, you have a stock, but how is it valued? You certainly want to invest in things that are going to ultimately grow and appreciate. So how's the valuation check-in? We're going to check in today on the overall assessment of the stock market fundamentals, the sentiment, the technical conditions, really over the past few weeks. And this comes from a report as of April 30th. Overall from a weekly market commentary of at LPL Research. You can find that on Twitter at LPL Research and find it there. And you can certainly email me too, greg@farrellwealth.com. I'd be happy to send it to you. But, you know, the valuations have really come down before making really the case that stocks are fairly valued. I really want to point out how the valuations have fallen in the last few months. Now, this doesn't take into consideration the movement from Friday and Monday, which is today, but our favorite valuation tool for stocks, the P/E ratio, has really been seen a falling P and a rising E. The S&P 500 index is about 7% off of its closing high for the year. That was January 26th, we've been mentioning here. But estimates for 2018 earnings for the index have risen by about 3% during that time, and they're up 8% a year to date. So the increase in earnings estimates for the next four quarters is even more dramatic, having jumped 6% since January's stock market peak. So the earnings have been rising, and that's what we've been talking about here, especially with this recent earnings quarter with over 400 S&Ps reporting up to this date. The first quarter earnings growth of 24% year over year is a huge upside surprise, and that's really compared with estimates of the quarter end that mostly were pretty much flat. So higher analyst earnings estimates have coupled with lower stock prices, and this has clipped 12% off the stock market valuations in the past 3 months. So this has taken an S&P forward PE 18.5 from 18.5 to 16.2. And that's one of the things we look at, certainly, that is the valuation of the S&P 500, valuation of those companies out there. You want to look at the forward PE. And with that coming down to 16.2, you start looking at much more value. So this is really a case for saying that the stocks are being fairly valued. We believe the S&P is really pretty much fairly valued at a forward PE ratio of slightly over 16. And even though that level is a touch above the post-1990 average of 15.4, on the trailing PE basis, you start looking at using earnings over the past four quarters, and that PE, the PE is higher at 20. But the scenario is really interesting. It's fascinating because earnings have been going up and the prices of the stocks have been going down. So you're getting some really – so much better buys out there in regards to the valuations. And I think that's what you're seeing here with a number of companies adding to their mergers and acquisitions budgets. There was a big announcement today with Starbucks and Nestle is a multi-billion dollars, over $7 billion or so in regards to that. The companies have cash and they're using it as much as possible. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the M&A, which is mergers and acquisitions side of life. But this forward PE is very, very important because our estimate of the S&P 500 earnings for shares was 152.5, and this is really below consensus estimates out there. But it really, you know, those consensus estimates are along with 158 to 159. So, bottom line, we think the earnings is sufficiently strong to justify slightly above valuations. So, and you add in the fact that the case for being stocks being fairly valued, you add in the fact that it's still low interest rates. Interest rate levels, which are another important consideration in evaluation of the stock valuations, are currently supportive of above-average stock valuations across the board. Interest rates really dictate how attractive bonds are relative to stocks, and that's what we're going to talk about here in a minute, is the some of the attractiveness that you see out there in the bond world in regards to yield opportunities to certainly hopefully improve. So, overall valuation, I have to say, it's really good. And then you throw in one last thing is low inflation is also supportive of higher stock valuations. You're looking at the consumer price index or CPI, and this valuation picture is very positive. So this makes sort of logical sense because higher inflation, like high interest rates, really erode the value of future cash flows in today's dollars. And so that really offsets. So on average, stock valuations have historically been highest when the annual consumer inflation range is below 2%. But a 2 to 3% segment has been good too. So historically, when inflation has exceeded 4%, valuations start to become impaired. So you really want to start thinking about that as time goes on. But right now, with no interest rate rise, with no inflation, and companies are allowed to be able to do what they want to be able to do, and we really haven't even seen the effects of the tax cut that's coming about here, obviously, into 2019. Really, it's a great case for the fact that we're on a roll here, and you're going to see some solid valuations. So wanting to make sure you're investing wisely, always we make sure we preach that you have a diversified portfolio, that you have asset classes across the board, and that you own a number of different things across different strategies, certainly contrarian strategies as well against the overall stock market. But, you know, we've really been pounding on the stock market here in the last 4 weeks. We're going to change it up coming here out of earnings season. But I just felt as though everyone really needed to know about what's going on in the market and why it's so important, because this was a really, really, really big earnings season. And now here we're next week, we're pretty much going to be out of it. So we won't be talking about it as much. But it's very important that you realize that, you know what, 16 times earnings is pretty fairly priced in regards to the stock market, even though we're at all-time highs, because the earnings are just been, they've been blockbusters. So really, really incredible overall. Now, shows Money Matters with Greg. Just real quick information, 103.1 FM here at WVLP. I want to thank Alex Cotton for being here as well. You can find him on Twitter. Alex Cotton, he's a Valpo football player and a Valparaiso University student doing great things there at the university. So we want to thank Alex for being here today. He is on our Twitter feed and all other social media. So you can find us at Twitter at Feral Wealth and certainly our website, feralwealth.com. We are streaming live on that website, but also WVLP.org. It's very exciting. Last week, we actually broke the stream here at WVLP, so it's very exciting to be able to hear that. Always like to be able to push the envelope, and we had a lot of streamers listening in, which is great. So sorry for any inconvenience. We got it back up, certainly, but it's always nice to be able to challenge ourselves and have maximum streamers out there. As we hopefully we're going to break it here as we go into bonds in the last 10 minutes, I want to really talk about the search for income. Overall, look, if you're a conservative investor, it's very difficult right now to find things that are conservative that are not going to be too risky for you. You've had a 30-year bond bull market. You've had great yields in regards to your duration of ownership of bonds. You've had a wonderful opportunity to be able to make some money. And now, for the first time in a very, very long time, you have rising interest rate environment. And in a rising interest rate environment, historically, you it's not a matter of whether you're going to lose money in bonds, it's just a matter of how much. And I know that's tough to take for a lot of people, but that's exactly what's been happening. So I'm just trying to help you out there to remember and be careful with your diversified bond portfolio as to where to go in the search for income and yields opportunities. Because just because you are conservative doesn't mean you can't find some good yields out there without too much risk. But where to go, how to find it, and what looks forward on the horizon. We've been talking the stock market. Well, what about the opposite side? What about for the people that just want to be able to take their ball and bat and go home and just put some money into a very conservative investment? Look, rising rates are going to lead to a really difficult first quarter for fixed income. It already has. I mean, with the overall Barclays aggregate is down over 3% for the year. It's very difficult to, you know, justify, wait a minute, I don't go into a bond to lose 3%. So I want to be able to make sure that I'm going into high-quality bond opportunities and trying to find out and trying to get a little bit of yield out there as much, even though it's better than it has been. But at one point, basically your cash reserve accounts and your cash accounts were, you know, yielding nothing. Now they're at least a little bit better, which is good. So overall, short-term rates have also really seen some higher pressure by increasing the Federal Reserve rate hike, and which happened recently. Now, last week they did not raise rates, but you're really looking at lower quality and shorter duration fixed income has tended to sort of outperform higher quality and longer duration fixed income due to the lower sensitivity to the rise in the rates over the quarter. And that's basically what's happening is as rates rise, you want to go shorter duration and go into a shorter bond where it expires earlier. And that's exactly what the majority of people have done. So let's just talk about some of the snapshots that are out there. Look, overall, really want to talk about what we prefer, but I want to go into the sector snapshots pretty quickly here. We do prefer to look domestically for income-generating investments given the more favorable economic backdrop that we've seen here And this really should continue to support that credit quality overall. You start looking at the best ideas that you kind of see as far as income generation are high-yield bonds. These are taxable and tax-free. You look at bank loans, and that's floating-rate securities, preferred stocks, investment-grade corporate bonds, shorter intermediate term, and then you also look at emerging market debt, which is EMD. So real quick, on some of those sectors overall, high-quality bonds, taxable stability really is what's going to reign overall. You start looking at the Barclays high-yield index has outperformed broad high-quality bonds during the first quarter, but it still fell 0.9% due to this rise in interest rates. So even though you're investing in riskier, high-yielding type investments, you're still down money. So according to the Moody's Investors Service, forward-looking one-year default forecast for high yield still remains really low at 1.4. And with much of that optimism, really it's looking at a fair value estimate, you really want to start looking at the average yield in the high-yield bond market ended the first quarter at 6.2, and that's up from 5.7 to end 2017. Still well below the 200-year average of 9%. So diversifying your overall bond portfolio, really recommend that suitable investors would use maybe a mutual fund or an exchange-traded product for exposure into this asset class overall if you don't necessarily know what you're doing in regards to individual bonds. So obviously, we always mention to consult your advisor, or your investment advisors, your wealth advisors, and certainly tax attorneys as well in regards to what you might feel comfortable with. Municipal bonds and high-yield bonds, municipal high yield certainly is compelling with a taxable equivalent. You start looking at some of the municipal indexes in the indices. The average yield for tax-free high-yield bonds right now is 5.3. Which translate to that compelling taxable equivalent of about 8.7, and that's assuming you're in a 39.6% tax rate. So obviously trying to stay away from Puerto Rico in regards to those high yielding bonds in regards to risk. Many of the people that have invested in Puerto Rico have done well with those bonds, but you know, that's certainly a risk worth noting if there's any increase in regards to more interest rates in Puerto Rico. But there was a ton of municipal issuance in late 2017, and that issuance really during the first quarter has been pretty quiet. So, but municipal bonds certainly look pretty solid. If looking at floating rate in regards to their loans overall, that is that's a really more conservative approach to overall high yield. Companies rated below investment grade issue loans via the banks for short-term funding, and that's hence the name of bank loans. Most bank loans are senior secured debt, and as companies really sort of pledge that specific tangible assets for that loan, that really ranks them above traditional bonds and equities in the corporation's sort of capital structure. So this means that they're paid before unsecured bonds in the event of a default, and recovery rates have historically been higher than unsecured bonds. So these securities typically pay a higher yield than short-term securities, and this really generally is between 1 and 4% above the LIBOR, which is the London Interbank Offered Rate. So 1 to 4% above LIBOR is what you get when you go in for bank loans. And you really seek to provide that protection against rising interest rates overall, which is nice. The 3-month LIBOR rose from 1.69 at the end of 2017 to 2.31 at the end of the first quarter 2018. So this has really been sort of a sharp rise. It's really been driven by the Fed rate hike expectations for the year, as well as heavy Treasury issuance overall. So the bank loan market is a par market, what they call it. That means many issues may be called at par at any time, which is 100 on your overall bond. So with the majority of current issues already sort of trading above par, these call risks may become more pronounced overall. So just looking at floating rate, obviously it is a more conservative approach to your overall high yield. And this is what we're trying to do is build different silos inside of your bond portfolio so you don't necessarily get whacked. That's basically what we're trying to build here is in regards to reviewing these. Now, let's look real quick at preferred stock before we finish the last 5 minutes of the show here. Preferred stocks are they're fixed income securities that are suitable for income-seeking investments. The investors, this certainly is something you want to consider. Now, the financial sector comprises roughly 80% of all preferred issuers. And they've really benefited from the stable to improving bank credit quality metrics and industry, sort of that deregulation that's been coming from the Trump administration. So we still believe that the sector can be used as a potential income generator in a fixed income environment, but you really have to be cautious when in regards to preferreds. Average yields rose above the first quarter to 5.1% from 4.6%. But that very nature of the preferred market means that the yield advantage to comparable treasuries really may vary. So you're taking on more risk. So you need to be able to make sure that you're getting rewarded in regards to yield. And I don't know if you necessarily are. But again, we're talking about silos and different things you want to ultimately have in a bond portfolio. So maybe you would lessen your exposures to preferreds and still get that yield along the way. Next silo would be investment-grade corporate bonds, historically stable in that slow-growth environment. That is very typical. Investment-grade corporate bonds, they remain very low historically, but they're also at their greatest level in approximately 8 years, and these are really increasing their attractiveness as an income-producing option. In the end of this, end of the first quarter, the average yield on investment corporate bonds is about 3.8%. And that's higher from the 3.3% yield at the end of 2017. Now, there have been higher yields, but then also these bonds have lost value. So that's basically what's happening out there is now if you get in or you're reevaluating or reevaluating and repositioning your bond portfolio, these are some of the silos you're probably going to want to take advantage of. So at the end of the first quarter, the average investment-grade corporate bond yield spread with treasuries was 1.1, and this is certainly below the 20-year average of 1.6. So always looking at investment-grade corporate, and historically they're pretty much stable in the slow-growth environments overall. So last one would be emerging market debt. This would be your last silo. This may benefit from emerging market growth. The EMD, or the emerging market average yield advantage of the comparable securities overall is rose from 2.4% from 2.3%, and the average EMD yield is about 5. This is just below its 5-year average of 5.1. So, look, you're always going to have in this sector, you're going to have be vulnerable to potential protectionist trade policies. You're going to have commodity-related weaknesses in currencies. But it is certainly a silo that's been something to consider in regards to the credit quality over that longer horizon overall. So consider emerging market debt and EMD debt overall. So really just kind of wrap this up here in regards to bonds. The first quarter of 2018 was very difficult for fixed income. But the good news is that the outlook has improved for income investors moving forward. Yield levels have been a good indicator of future total returns, so increased yield levels may bode well over the longer term. Whether investing purely for income or with a balanced stock and bond portfolio, I really believe that, obviously we preach this all the time, diversification remains a prudent principle. To manage interest rate and credit default risk. So consider that in regards to your overall bond portfolio and trying to build those silos that are available to you, really high yield corporate, high yield municipal, if tax advantages are something you want, emerging market debt, investment grade corporate, mortgage-backed securities, and then also some treasuries as well. So always thinking about those and trying to diversify your bond portfolio. The show's Money Matters with Greg running up here at the end of the half hour and finishing up. I want to wish everybody a happy May. The show is Money Matters with Greg at WVLP 103.1. I want to thank Greg Kovach for running the board today as our engineer. Thank Alex Cotton for running the social media. You can find us on iTunes, Money Matters with Greg, and anywhere else you listen to your podcast as well. And certainly Twitter and Facebook and you name it, Money Matters with Greg is out there. So thanks for streaming today. Thanks for listening today. And I hope everybody has a fantastic May and wishing all of the mothers out there a fantastic Mother's Day. Thanks for being awesome moms. Mom, thank you for being an awesome mom for me. Dee Farrell, happy Mother's Day. I love you. And hope everybody has a great week, a very profitable and healthy week, and a happy Mother's Day. See you next week.
Greg Farrell is the president, CEO of Farrell Wealth, and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliate. Opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. All individuals should get their proper advice investing and managing their personal finances. Money. Get back.